Tonight. It's a Wednesday summer series, so tonight you're stuck with me. Steve, do you mind starting us off with a prayer? Okay, thank you. So tonight we're doing chapter 7, the gospel of your salvation. It starts off with Ephesians 1:13 and says, "Ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation." So it kind of begs the question to me, what is salvation? And I've got like 3 slides here. No, I'm just kidding. I've got a few more. But I'm very interactive, so definitely going to be looking for actual answers to questions. So, what is salvation? Yeah. Forgiveness of sins.
Release from the burden of sin.
Release from the burden of sin. Is this a word you talk about often? Does it come up in your everyday conversation? For me, not so much. I mean, it's not, I don't usually, you know, talk about the word salvation with coworkers. Talk about Christ and the Bible. I should probably talk about salvation more to them. What kind of context does it have when you think about salvation? Heaven? Yes? The state of being saved? Yeah. You ever talk about it? You know, does your dog have salvation? I mean, it's always in the context of our spiritual life, right? Our souls. So the book goes on to say it means deliverance and or protection. It's used 164 times in the Bible. And it's the same root word as save, savior. Even comes, even the name Jesus. Or it comes as the same, save, savior, Jesus, Jesus is savior, salvation, all related. So do we need salvation? Why? Yeah. Go. All have sinned? And I think that's kind of the scary misconception of the world, right, is that everyone's saved. So there is no need to talk about salvation because everyone is saved. And that's a scary place to be, but that's, I mean, we see that in, you know, the culture. I mean, if you're, he said when you talk about the word salvation, it implies that there is a state of not having salvation as well. So kind of the opposite is true. So salvation is saying that there is a state of being saved and there is a state of being not saved, which is very true. I feel like every day at work or you know, school or anything else, there's a lot of people that don't want to recognize, you know, what sin is doing to their lives. That it is taking them away from God. And that there is a need to have salvation. Yeah, Sean. You ever heard of this before? A loving God wouldn't send me to hell? You know, would a loving God, you know, let bad things happen in this world? I mean, there's rules here on earth. There's right and wrong. And there are consequences for separating yourself from God. We need salvation. And I think because, as we've talked about, it's because of sin. It's that sin in our life that removes us from God, that puts us in a state of not being saved. So what is sin? Sorry? Disobedience? Yep. Must have read the book. I think there was an archery sentiment in the book. Yeah. Yes. I completely agree. In one word, separation. That's it. Someone else have their hand raised? Yeah. Oh. Yes. And why do we do that? Yeah, sometimes we get lured over, I mean, it could be anything. It could be getting yourselves out of a tight situation with a little white lie. You know, you don't, selfish ambition. I see a lot of that in the workplace. Yes.
Mm-hmm. We need to be educated on what it's like.
Yeah, I tried to tell that cop that one time, I didn't know the speed limit was 60. Did that get me out of a ticket? No. Yes, Floyd. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yep, I've got behavior that conflicts with God's teaching is sin. God said to do one thing. We do something else, it separates us. It removes us from what God has told us to do. And that's sin. Romans 3:23. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know I've sinned. I think everyone here has. You almost have to examine your life, your attitude daily to figure out, you know, what's causing you to sin? Why are you doing this? Is it because you want to, you know, I don't think a lot of people wake up in the morning and say, you know what, I'm going to disobey God today. I don't think we consciously say, I'm going to disobey God, but then if we let our attitudes and our actions and our prejudices and anything else in our life kind of get in the way of what God's told us to do, that's when that sin enters our life. I've got, we know best. If anyone felt that way sometimes? We know what's best for us rather than what God's told us to do. Any examples of that in the Bible? What are a few? When did someone know better than God? Yeah, John. Yeah, the analogy, what Sean said was Uzzah in the transportation of the ark. He was just trying to help. Why would God do that? But you're right. It should have never been on that platform in the first place. It should have never been in a position where if something did happen, you would be forced to sin. We put ourselves in kind of situations that's dangerous for us. You know, we know we're susceptible to a certain type of sin, and we all struggle with something different. You know, what I struggle with is different than Ken or Steve or anyone else. Do you actively kind of put yourself in that situation, though, where you might? Sean? Right. Attempt to summarize. What Sean was saying is sometimes we try to draw our own lines. We do our own will when it suits us. I don't drink any alcohol. I just don't trust myself. I know there's a lot of, it says don't get drunk in the Bible, and there's not a lot beyond that, but I, for myself, I know that, you know, if I took any type of alcohol, I don't know I would be able to stop. I'm just one of those people. I feel like when I do something, I go all out. I mean, Jen and I would attest, when we buy furniture, we buy furniture. We get a lot. So you have to kind of know yourself and know your boundaries. Know what the Bible says, and don't put yourself in those situations where you're going to be tempted to go beyond what you have control for. And that's something, you know, I think about a lot. If I look at my life and then look at the life of my neighbor of the life of someone that doesn't go to church at all, what's different? You know, what's different about my life? Am I peculiar? Am I living in a way that is going to make me stand out of the world because I'm following God's will? Okay. That's a great point. I find for myself, you know, if I know I struggle with a particular sin, I don't tell myself, oh, I'm just, you know, I'm going to stop doing that sin. I kind of redirect. It's like a cup. You know, you got to pour out the black water and put in, you know, the pure blood of Christ. And that's, for me, refocusing, doing something else, you know, keeping myself busy with whatever it is. I mean, you fill your life and fill your cup with something else that would help us. Anyone lured by earthly treasures? Chasing that dollar? Chasing the promotion, the honor, the prestige, whatever it happens to be? Can your family be an earthly treasure? That one's hard too. Your family takes you away from Christ, what should we do? Or if you prioritize, you know, family activities above Christ, you know, those are all problems. So what are the effects of sin? And David, death. David, you said being enslaved earlier. I mean, that's dead on. Any other effects? Do you feel better? Do you feel worse? Does it matter what we feel? Isaiah? Paralyzing guilt. That's good. So you got two extremes there. Adrenaline rush and paralyzing guilt. I mean, it's different. Yeah, hope.
Conversation with our girls, because I think all of us, we love to do it, we have a tendency to
And the consequence is vastly different. But in God's eyes, it's separation. It doesn't matter if you're 10 miles away or a centimeter away, it's separation. And I think it's kind of interesting if you talk, you know, to your friends, coworkers, whoever in the world, and you ask them about right and wrong. You ever got, you know, usually I think it was Patrick Ford made a comment in a class one day that kind of stuck with me. You know, usually there's kind of extremes, right? People will generally say it is wrong to kill someone. You know, they get that extreme. And then on the other end, it's completely, you know, if you don't kill someone, that's right. See, those are your ends. So, you know, what's in the middle? And, you know, is it wrong to kill babies? Yes, it's wrong to kill babies. Is it wrong to kill a baby still in the womb? You know, where do you start drawing that line? At what week is it wrong to start killing that womb or that fetus? Agree. But what's interesting, I think the world, it's blurry in the middle. And that's dangerous. And it's that blurriness that Satan kind of thrives in, right? Where he creates that ambiguity so that we kind of lose our sense of right and wrong. And when we don't have that sense of right or wrong, that's when we start sinning. That's when we separate ourselves from God. John 8:34. Whosoever committed a sin is the servant of sin. While you might get that adrenaline rush initially, can that sin enslave you? How so? What's the only unforgivable sin? The sin you keep doing, right? The one that you won't get rid of. Go ahead. Floyd. That's key. Yeah. You know, and it's sometimes hard to recognize that too. You know, I think you might think, oh, this sin is working out for me, whatever it is, whether it's, you know, lying or stepping on others to get ahead, but it's gonna lead to death. There's only one way that path goes. Ozzy. like a drug addict, right? Where eventually you'll do anything for that hit. I mean, to the point of, you know, when you start to when you end, I mean, you're willing to sacrifice anything and do whatever it takes to get that next high or whatever. You know, pick your poison. Yeah. Results in shame. Never brings honor to the sinner. Do you agree with that? Yeah. Yeah. I'm hyper aware of that right now with my kids. I mean, they're, you know, 3, 2, 4, and 6. And they pick up everything. Everything. Whether or not I think they're paying attention, they are right there listening, learning. I mean, it's just incredible. I was told that many times. They're just sponges in every single way. And I'm finding right now, you know, even they're not only a sponge to us, but they're a sponge to their little friends too. And so if they start playing with kids that, you know, are not well behaved or say bad words, you know, then they recognize that. But, you know, we've had to stop them a couple times. You can't say that. Like, well, someone else says it. That's not what God says. You can't say it. Proverbs 13:15. Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressions is hard. Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. And it might not be, you know, that instant physical death that we might think of, but it's worse. It's a spiritual death that's happening inside of us. I often wonder, what if we still lived in kind of the Old Testament times, where if you, you know, hid money or told a lie, you were struck dead? Would things change at all? Maybe. That's true. It hasn't. People are still going to do what they want to do. Yeah, and that's the scary part too. I do feel like I'm getting insensitive to things I should never be insensitive to. And, you know, if I hear someone cussing, does it like offend me to my core? Do I want to reach out to that person to tell them, you know, hey, this isn't what God told us to do. You're risking your entire soul and existence for, you know, because you don't know enough verbs or nouns. I mean, like, there are other ways to express your feelings without having to curse God. I mean, that always seemed kind of silly to me, but if you just let it go in your life and get insensitive to it, it's just another word. It doesn't matter. Everyone else is doing it. No one else thinks anything of it. So what do we do about sin? Boy, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I see. Yeah, I always think of Joseph and Potiphar's wife, right? Literally, just left. Cloak was in her hand. Yeah, Isaiah. Harder to sin when you're reading the Bible and learning about God every day. It's when you kind of partition that and say, okay, that's what I do on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's not what I do on Tuesday during the middle of a work day. When you start partitioning that, that's when that sin can creep in on you. Yeah, a couple of hands. Hope, go ahead. And a little bit of complacency too. I sinned yesterday. I didn't die. You know, judgment didn't come. I'm still here. I have a little more time, I hope. And that's, I think, a big reason why we don't share as much as we do. Because then they would know. They would know what I'm struggling with. And, you know, I don't want to admit that to anyone. So I'm going to keep it to myself and not let anyone else know. And that's the most dangerous spot. And that's exactly where Satan wants us. Where if we're not letting someone know, if we're not doing it about it ourselves, it's just going to fester. It'll get worse. Lots of great discussion. I appreciate that. 5 minutes. That's gone really fast. So what do we do about sin? By ourselves, nothing. There's nothing I can do by myself to get rid of that sin in my life. I've got to depend on God. Even in the Old Testament, could the people get rid of their sin? No. They had sacrifices and go to the high priest. And so only Jesus protects us from slavery to sin. He reconciles us to God. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, to be for us that we might be made righteous of God in Him. And He died for us in Romans 5:8 and Hebrews 2:9. So Jesus is the only one that can reconcile us to God. Only by putting Him on through baptism, changing our life, repurposing our life, getting out of that habit of whatever we're in, can we really be free of sin? So how do we respond to salvation? You know, I think a lot of the world right now will either deny or reject it. Say, oh, you know, some of it's a little bit of pre-evangelism we have to do to talk to them about the authority of the Bible, that there is a God. And only then can they really have an open mind and heart to start learning enough to understand the state that they're living in and then what to do about it. And that's through salvation. But often, I think a lot of the world says, oh, well, that would modify my lifestyle. You know, I like going out to the club and partying till 5 a.m. and coming home not remembering what I did last night. That's a good time. I do that every Friday night. I have to change that. Yes. We close our eyes to our own sins sometimes, blame others. I think in general, you know, there's a real lack of accountability in the world. It's never our problem. It's never our fault. It's always some type of external influence that I had on me, you know, whatever it happens to be. But it's not me. We see that a lot. So we can't save ourselves. We have to accept Jesus. And I think this is the big one. We must repent. Can't just completely agree with everything that's written in the Bible and then go off and do whatever you want. I mean, we're all here Wednesday night, middle of a work week. But, you know, come Thursday morning, what are you doing? How are you acting? You know, what are your thoughts? Are they in alignment with what Christ said? We've got to accept the cross as a reality. In Romans 6:3, it says, "Know ye not that so many of us, as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death?" You know, there was a sacrifice that was made on our behalf. I mean, that's how we get salvation, was through that sacrifice. He died, he rose. And last slide, I heard the bell. So what's the good news? You know, we can have salvation. We can have salvation, but it's not free. I mean, Jesus didn't give us salvation for free. There was a sacrifice there. It takes a sacrifice for us in this world to follow Jesus, to correct our life, to repent. It means giving up something. Takes discipline and an open heart. But we can take off our shackles and no longer be slaves to sin and live eternally with our Father in heaven. But it all starts with us. So I guess the challenge for the week, you know, just look at your life. Are you reading your Bible? You know, are you sinning? Do you know you're sinning? And if you do, or if you are, you know, fill your life with something else. So that you don't, and that you can have salvation. It's too important. I mean, we say this, it's too important. I'd hate to be, you know, dead one day, looking back on my life, regretting every minute that I didn't get my life right. So that's it. Thanks, guys.